This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. The main is supposed to be elite, but I told that be so awesome and that down be amazing. But enough about me, guess we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would have been killed a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP, any mood I didn't got around, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame us for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy Horrors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. Excuse me.
You want to do that again? Well, I meant the intro, not the cough, but you can do that again, too.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 222. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside
with
me is I Yield to No One.
You know, I've got a whole bunch of stuff I could go rant on, but it is way too early in the season to be running into cobwebs when you're mowing yard that'll swallow a small child. That's like September stuff. This is August. Ah!
You know I would have screamed like a little bitch if that happened to me.
Luckily I saw it before I ran into it, but dude, that web was big enough to swallow a small child, not to mention the ones I ran into that I didn't see.
You ran into small children?
Hey, when they come out of the cornfield, I'm not to blame, man.
No, if those kids are coming out of a cornfield, you take your car and you do what you got to do, or you just tuck tail and run. You don't get anywhere near those kids, because those are evil kids.
Yeah, you ain't going to make it, man.
Also with us, Alex.
How's it going, everybody? It feels kind of weird not to be the first person to talk on the show besides Tricky, but I'm glad Yield got the spotlight tonight, because, well, I don't care about the New York Giants or the Bengals, so that wouldn't have been a very good countdown for me.
No. But hey, one of your former players is on the Bengals now.
Who's that?
AJ Hawk.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's a good pickup for you all. I don't know. Like, I feel like AJ Hawk was, he really kind of blossomed in, not blossomed, but he did really well in college, and I never felt he lived up to what he should have in Green Bay. Maybe it's just because he wasn't flashy. I mean, he got a lot of tackles. I guess he got the job done, but I was never too impressed with what he did in Green Bay as opposed to what he did at Ohio State.
I think, unfortunately, when Clay Matthews came on the scene, he kind of just was more of the support player than when he was at State, when he was the player. So,
you know what my favorite part of last night's game was?
What's that?
It's yet another time that a New York team shows that its sports city sports are inferior.
Also with us, the man that doesn't care about the Giants, the Bengals, or the Packers, or care about sports at all, Donnie.
What up, dope people? Welcome to Trophy Whores, the show where we talk about trophy and whores.
Apparently we talk about sports and football and preseason
games. Oh, we're going to start talking about a lot of sports now because football's gearing up, so yeah.
Is it October yet?
No. No one cares about hockey.
Yeah, okay.
True that.
Let's do as we do every week and give you our updated trophy count. I am level 27, total trophies of 6,362, and a plaque count of 45. Donnie?
Well, since Tricky has been prejudiced with the agenda, I can only view it and not update my stuff. So
you can update.
No, I can't. I'm only in view mode only. But level count of 26. Trophy count is 5,622, negative 7 on that, and
we're not doing the negatives on the trophies.
Plats and negative 7.
We're not doing negatives.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, my God. You're so annoying with that, Donnie.
Don't get mad at my honor, my honordom, my honor.
No, we agreed as the four horsemen that we would do... The take it off to the plat because the plat's more significant. We weren't worried about the trophies.
I don't recall that.
You signed the trophy. You know what? Never mind. Alex, what are your trophies?
Somebody forged my hand, Kai. That's what it was.
I love, fellas, how Tricky has forgot to mention two very special trophies he picked up this week that he thought didn't exist. Yet he's been neglecting them all this time. Who neglects Rock City and Bebop?
I didn't know they made pops for them.
And now he went out and got all of, like, the entire Ninja Turtles set.
Yeah, I bought Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo, April O'Neil, Splinter, Shredder, Rocksteady and Bebop, and Craig.
Craig.
Whoa.
Craig.
Where's Casey Jones?
Exactly.
Oh, I got Casey Jones as well, too.
I was going to say, besides Rocksteady and Bebop, if you don't have Casey Jones, then forget it.
I got Casey Jones.
I was at GameStop yesterday, dropping down some pre-orders and renewing my Game Informer. And they had a Deadpool pop and a Snoopy and
I have that one.
And a Snoopy and Woodstock pop. And I was like,
I have that one as
well. I looked at my wife and I went, you know, I could start a small collection. I would only get the ones I really want. And I really want Deadpool and I really want Snoopy and Woodstock. And I almost walked out with them. I refrained for the moment, but the next time I go back, I can't say I won't.
There's a comic book shop in Louisville called The Destination, and they have like an aisle full of pop figures. There's tons of them.
Well, take pictures of them. Let me know which ones they have so I can know which ones they have. I'll send you the money. You can mail them to me.
All right. Sounds like a deal. Yield, I'm going to say it's a trap. It's a money trap.
It is a money trap.
Because Tricky's not unlike you, like what you're planning to do. Tricky's not buying the ones he wants. Tricky's buying the ones he wants, and then he's buying the entire set that those are included in.
But the collector in me has to fill the set. Otherwise, it feels like it's not there.
Here's the problem. Well, see, I have some Ratchet and Clank action figures. The Ratchet and Clank future action figures. I've only got three of those. The Smuggler, Captain Quark, and Dr. Nefarious. Those are the only ones I want, although there were like two series and like eight total figures.
But you don't want Ratchet and Clank themselves?
No. I'm good. I just want my favorite characters. And my favorite characters are those characters.
That's blasphemous to me.
No. See, whereas I spent like maybe $60 on those figures total, you probably spent like $600, $700 on those pop figures. Which, and here's the problem with collectibles nowadays.
More than that.
Here's the problem with collectibles nowadays. They're not worth anything because they're so mass produced. Like, it used to be like baseball cards and stuff in our parents' day and age. They could, like, if you had a bunch of them or a rookie card, you could actually get some money for them. Nowadays, like, nothing's worth anything anymore.
True.
No, Tricky, you can shake your head. You can sit there and look how much
I'm shaking my head because Donnie just informed us that his laptop is at 20% and he doesn't have his charge cable with him.
I put oops with it.
Yeah.
Oops, he did it again.
So we're probably going to lose Donnie halfway through the show.
Got lost in the game.
We got sidetracked. Alex, what are your trophies?
So I am level 24. I have 4,744 trophies, and I have 59 platinums in 58 games, which means I got a platinum last week. In fact, right after the show.
Would it be Dishonored?
Would Dishonored?
I did get Dishonored, which right now is, of all the people who own it compared to the people who, or all the people who have the platinum compared to all the people who own the game, it is an 8.13%, so it's a very rare platinum. So,
woo-hoo!
Add that to the list.
Awesome.
All right, Yield, what are your trophies at, sir?
I am a level 20, trophy count of 3390, and a platinum of 41.
And for the second week in a row, nobody knows that I got a new platinum this week.
Because nobody cares.
Yeah, I know. Nobody cares.
It was probably another Disney game, wasn't it?
It was Disney Infinity 1.0.
Ah, I see.
Well, I was going to guess Madden.
Why Madden? I don't play sports games.
You do too. Well, you play NHL. Liar.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't consider a hot NHL sports game.
You're right, because no one considers NHL a sport.
It's a sports experience. Because it actually takes skill to play hockey, unlike football.
What if anybody else been playing?
So, well, hold on. Tricky, I know why you don't like to play Madden.
Because it's the same game every year?
No, because you're afraid that if you play with the Giants, they'll lose to the Bengals again, just like they did last night. So you don't want to play Madden for that reason.
You know what? I don't expect the Giants to be good this year. So, like, you guys can give a shit about the Giants all you want.
I actually
expected you guys to give me shit because the Rangers just signed a player that won the Stanley Cup with the Kings against the Rangers.
They did?
I figured you guys were going to give me shit about that.
I don't pay attention to hockey, so I wouldn't know that.
Yeah. The Rangers signed a free agent, is one of the key players that helped the Kings win the Stanley Cup over the Rangers a couple years ago.
Man, they're so bad they're getting desperate.
But let's get into what we're playing. Donnie, we'll start with you since we might lose you at any time.
I've been playing some more Last of Us. I just finished the game again, so I got all the videos that I need to start my little production thing. And I've been playing Stitz, Master of Shadows, which that is straight up PlayStation 2. But I'm intrigued with stealth games, so I'm it's a story. I just put it like that. It's a story.
Was that free plus game with a troll?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I think I put that in my library.
Yeah, it's a story. It's not big at all. It's straight up like playing Station 2. Also, I gave Drive Club.
What?
It's like playing Station 2. What are you talking about? What?
You know what? Never mind. Go ahead. You play Drive Club.
And I played Drive Club. Gave that a chance. And it looks okay. I would expect more as far as graphic wise, depending, looking at other games. I still say Gran Turismo and Station 3 looks better than Drive Club, but it's hard to control that mud, man. I'm driving, and at the end of the game, I mean, at the end of the race, I realized why I couldn't drive so good. It's a freaking female behind the wheel. I'm like, man, what the heck?
Oh my God.
So yeah, you gotta check.
There goes a good percentage of our listeners.
So yeah, that game is. I think Drive Club needs to get a new license and something else. And I think that's pretty much it. I think that's all I've been playing.
All right, Eel, can you tell us what you've been playing without alienating part of our audience?
I'm in the middle of podcasting here. Will you leave me alone, please? But I'm eating it now.
This show is getting so sidetracked.
What have I been playing? I've been playing some Joe Danger 2, the movie. I absolutely love me some Joe Danger. And I've been kind of, for the most part, whooping Alex's scores. I'm just throwing that out there. And I've been playing some Borderlands 2.
Hey, Yield, I'm right now 100%, and those are some of the most rare trophies that I have. So they're if you can get 100% Joe Danger, you got some serious skill, because you got to practice that game, you got to play that game over and over again, because some of those tracks are really hard. Some of those trophies are really hard. So
I got the Joe Danger 100%, and right now those are my three rarest trophies. Right now I'm working on Joe Danger 2, and I've got the main story. The movie's done. Right now I'm going through deleted scenes, and I've gotten all the pro medals up to that point, and I've still got like half the pro medals to go, and I'm like, oh, this is going to, the wheels are going to come off here real quick. Getting all the ones in Joe Danger were insane.
And Joe Danger 2 is even harder, I think.
Oh, I believe it. Right now I've been going through it fairly easy, but I just keep waiting for it to really kick up. But I've been also playing some Borderlands 2. Me and Prepare to Die, Earth Scum's been going through Mr. Torg's Campaign of Carnage. I'm trying to get my Gunzerker up to a 20 level, 25, so I can get his trophy, and then I'm down to one trophy left for that platinum. So I'm marching towards that.
All right, Alex.
So I finished off Dishonored at the end of, well, after, shortly after last week's show, and I haven't been playing too much since then. A couple reasons for that. I did play some Mega Man 3. I downloaded that. It was on sale this past week. It's like $250 for PlayStation Plus members. So I'm like, that's one of my favorite games ever. So yes, I'm going to get Mega Man 3. Only problem is the title screen and most of the screens are in Japanese. So they could have made it a little easier on us by having this kind of collection translated to English. But anyway, the thing that really got to me is I've kind of wanted to move on to God of War Ascension because it was free for PlayStation Plus, and I'd like to, you know, go for the platinum in that because I have the platinums in God of War, God of War 2, and God of War 3. So I've got all the main God of War platinums. This is the fourth one in the series, so I'd kind of like to go through and get that. The download for God of War Ascension, the digital download, is enormous. It's 35 gigs, but as, you know, I found out, you have to have double that amount on your hard drive, free space, in order to actually download the game. So you usually have to have like 70 or up to 80 gigs on your system free in order just to download this damn game. Well, I come and I try to download it, and the download is like at right now 14% after downloading for like an hour or so, and it's just like, you know, do we have to make this download so gigantic that I can't play it, you know? It's going to take me, what, 5 hours to download this damn game? And we have good internet, so, like, I you know, it kind of pisses me off that I sit down to play this game, and, you know, like, my girlfriend obviously, you know, makes it possible for me to do this, and I had some time to actually sit down and play it on a Sunday, you know, after work, when I'd like to sit down and relax, and I can't play the game because it's too damn big. The file's too damn big. So, like, is there any good reason for this, or, like, am I justified in this? Like, it irritates me where in an age where I can get on my phone at any time and say, oh, well, I would like to hear that song, I remember that song, you know, I want to buy that song right now, and I can listen to it seconds later, I realize a game file is much bigger, but when you can often get stuff on demand, like movies very quickly, the fact that I have to sit here and wait hours for a game to download because the file is so damn big, like, that kind of pisses me off.
I feel you.
Well,
I feel you.
I'm with you on that, and it was kind of they kind of rectified it in a roundabout way, where now you can go onto the website and you can have the game download straight from your from the website onto your system. That's how I do most of my Plus games, regardless, so they're there when I get to it. But in your case, where you didn't have the file, the space, it wouldn't have downloaded, so. I mean, there's a workaway around it, but there's not. I mean, that's one of the things I like about the PlayStation 4 is that you can actually turn it off into standby mode, and it will download. The PlayStation 3 doesn't have that option.
Speaking of the PlayStation 4, I was setting mine up last night, and that aggravated the heck out of me. Of all those things I had to go through when I was setting up my PlayStation account, not only did I have to re-verify my email address on an account that I've had for 10 years, I had to go through and be like, no, I don't want friends of friends of friends of friends to see who I am, what I'm playing, what my name is, all that stuff. I'm like, come on, really? I'm not that socially. It was just kind of slightly aggravating.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
What's your real name?
My real name is I Yield to No One, which aggravates me a little bit because I need to figure out if I can do it because on my system it says my real name and I'm like, I don't like that.
Well, it's designed to be more sociable, and I understand, but the fact, like, I sent you a real name request, whether you accept it or not, it's your choice, but as of right now, it still says I Yield to No One on my system.
That's right.
You can choose, and you can pick and choose who you want to see your real name. I just like doing the real names because, you know, every so often, like, even with Alex, and Alex, when he talks to Christina about me, he doesn't say, hey, Tricky said this, he says, hey, Mike said this. You know, and like, that aspect I kind of like. It's like, I kind of like knowing somebody's name rather than their online ID, especially since, you know, we have fans and whatnot. One of our fans, Stink Palm, he lives in Queens, which is not too far from me. And, you know, we just got together. We hung out for like 20 minutes and, cause we were making an exchange. I bought something from GameStop he wanted. He had some Disney Infinity,
You hung out for 20 minutes. He must not have liked you too much.
Well, no, I met him after work and, you know, he came out of work. I met him. We met in the city. We talked for like 10, 15 minutes and then he had to go home and then I had to get back to my place. So, I mean, I kind of like the aspect of knowing somebody's real name, but the aspect of having to be social, no, I think that there is a fine line in the gaming world for that.
No matter what you say, Tricky, that's stupid.
Listen, Don, you see it stupid, and I respect you for that. But in the grand scope of things, it's really not stupid because, like, if we're interacting with the fans, okay. Now, if we ever get so popular that we all go to like PAX East and stuff like that, and we do,
they have Google for that.
Google for what?
To find out what your real name is.
Yeah, Donnie. if we blow up to the fact that we're doing a meet and greet at PAX East or something like that, and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't want to meet people go, hey, I'm Stink Palm. No, I want to go, hey, I'm Tricky Mick, Michael, how you doing, blah, blah, blah.
They don't care if your name is Michael. That's why they like Stink Bomb. That's who they like. They don't like Michael. They like Stink Bomb. They like Young Twist.
Palm, 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 P A.
Or whatever. They like Stinky. Put it like that. They like Stinky. They don't they don't like Mike.
No, see, you don't like Mike. But all right, so we got so sidetracked, I don't even know who the hell went so far. All right. Donnie, how are we looking on your battery, buddy?
11%.
A couple quick fire topics we have is the Sony has released the information for the PlayStation Experience that's going to be taking place in San Francisco on the 5th and 6th, with the keynote being on the 5th. I will personally be there. I got some media badges, so I'm going to go along with the entire Press X Win crew. So we're all going to be there. So maybe we'll do like a meet and greet there if you guys are interested.
Awesome.
If you're interested in applying for it, before September 20th, the tickets will cost you $60 for a full 2-day pass. After September 20th, the same tickets will run you $75. 1-day passes for Saturday are $45, and 1-day passes for Sunday are $40. It's not clear yet, but Sony has teased a special reward for attendees who register using their PSN IDs. At last year's PlayStation Experience, we got news about Uncharted 4, No Man's Sky, Bloodborne, and much more. I know you guys aren't going to be able to make the event, but do you like the idea that Sony is now doing their own event and skipping Gamescom?
I think it's straight. You know, you know what? Kind of not really. I guess, because I feel like...
Donnie flip-flopped in, like, 2 seconds.
I just thought, I give it a second thought right now. It's just like, well, you're part of the gaming community, man. Get out there with the rest of the gaming community people. Don't just single yourself out, but that's just Sony being the big-headed people that they are.
All right, Alex Yield, how about you?
I'm fine with them having their own event.
Are they going to give us anything other than Station 3 games, Station 2 games? Because if they're going to give us anything other than that, if they're not going to give us anything other than that, then to heck with Sony in their press conference. Go sit down in a corner.
Where are you getting that they gave us Station 2 and Station 3 games?
You know what? Continue with the rest of the show. I'm not even about to go.
No, I'm asking you because you're obviously coming from that. You're saying that from a place. I'm trying to figure out where
I'm saying it
from.
Every single game that we have on the Station 4 now. What the heck are you talking about?
So you talk about if they're going to give us more than just remasters and remakes. I got you.
Yeah.
I didn't get the reference right away.
Quite frankly, I think it's good because, I mean, PlayStation is... A lot of these conventions, you have to sift through so much news and so many games. I don't really care what Nintendo's doing. I don't care what Microsoft's doing. I just kind of want to know what Sony's doing. So this makes it very easy for me to sift through all the news and find stuff I want. Sony is my favorite platform holder. They're my favorite platform maker. And their in-house studios generally make some of my favorite games. So like I would like to see their stuff out in front and center as opposed to having it hidden with all this other garbage. Well, I shouldn't say garbage. Garbage is the wrong word. With all these other games and this press. Because it basically gets to the nut of what I want to see.
Well, I'm with you on that. But the reason I ask this is because, like, now that they're doing the PlayStation Experience, they're skipping Gamescom, which is basically giving Microsoft their own platform to say, hey, listen, here's all our shit, and Sony doesn't have a way to respond to it until their event, which is not going to be for another 4 months.
That's fine. Then they can actually, instead of doing the typical Sony one step forward, five steps back, maybe they can get their crap together and actually counter correctly.
See, I I'm with you on that, but I think since the launch of the PlayStation 4, I don't think that's been true that, like, they take one step and forward and five steps back. I think they've actually gotten their shit in row now.
I don't know, man, because I...
Listen, they still screw up things, don't get me wrong.
Well, they do.
But what I'm saying
you
is...
Yeah, like a 35-gigabyte download for God of War Ascension, that's not even, like, the near the best God of War game, which has been actually pretty, like, sourly received by God of War fans, and I gotta wait 7 hours to play it.
Look at your pricing for now. It's totally not, you know, it's I don't know exactly how to word it, but it's not right. And that
I don't think now is like abnormally priced. I think it's a fair price for it.
And then and well, okay.
Well, though, the problem is that you're not getting new games right away.
Well, no, new now is basically Sony's way of doing backwards compatibility. And I understand the argument that it's bullshit that Microsoft's doing it for free and we got to pay for it on Sony. I agree with you on that. But this was Sony's way of giving us backwards compatibility so you can play these games. I mean, for $15 a month or $40 for 3 months, you have a choice of over 125 games that you can play at any time. I can hop on right now and play God of War Ascension and be playing it within 20 seconds.
Well, you could do that if you weren't too busy playing Miley Cyrus.
But we're also already paying for Plus. So this is what I'm getting at. And then they're coming out with PlayStation TV. Sony's E3 press conference wasn't overly surprising. They had good stuff. They had games that make us go, hey, I would like to play that. But I got the whole vibe from that conference. We're Sony. You're going to buy what we throw out in front of you because you love us. Look at what you bought. You bought the PS4 2-1 over the one. So we're Sony. We can do what we want. We don't necessarily have to appease you in masses. And it's like, don't get yourselves too cocky because you did that before. And what happened with the 3? You know, you did it from the 2 to the 3 and it took you 5 years to get that reversed. Don't go down that slope again.
Well, here, okay, so Sony, like, Mike, you brought this up about, or sorry, Tricky, you brought this up about Sony not being able to respond for months to Microsoft. I understand that, like, the press coverage that comes along with E3 and Gamescom is invaluable. I do. I get that. It's very important. Especially for people who don't necessarily, I mean, you reach a worldwide audience. It's great advertising. I think that you can respond to Microsoft without going on, getting up against a microphone and on stage and talking to people and throwing out barbs and thinly veiled jabs at your opponent or your nemesis, I guess, in the video game making world. You can do that by just making great games and excelling at what you do. And that's what Sony has done so far with the PlayStation 4. So I think that their response to Microsoft is just continuing to do what they do and making better first party games and continuing to foster those third party partnerships and just innovate where Microsoft really hasn't.
See, my argument would be, and I don't expect this to happen, nor do I think this would ever happen, but let's just say that during Gamescom, Microsoft dropped the bomb that says we can do backwards compatibility. Then Sony, in response, says, okay, you know what? We're going to throw away now. Every game is going to be backwards compatible. We're going to work it on the PlayStation 4. When they announce that at PlayStation Experience, the first thing, and rightfully so, a lot of people are going to say, is that, oh, well, Sony's just trying to play catch-up. And that's what I was talking about with the fact that they can't respond.
Well, don't
where
like
the E3 business press conference, not this E3 conference, but the conference before, where they came out and Microsoft was doing all their DRM shit, and then Jack Chetton came on stage and says, you know what, you can play all your games with no DRM, never, and threw that uppercut to Microsoft. That was perfectly timed.
Here's what you do. Here's how you excel in the business world. You innovate before your competitors do it. You stay ahead of the game. You don't at points, yeah, you'll have to respond to what they do. But if Sony wants to include backwards compatibility, it shouldn't be a Me Too thing. They should include it. And you know what? Just kind of announce it. I mean, backwards compatibility, honestly, it's not like a new game. It's not like a new IP. It's not like a huge sequel. If you're going to do that, just tell like Joystick or IGN or Kotaku or Proven Gamer, just tell them in a news story that you're doing backwards compatibility. Don't wait. Don't sit on a story. Because okay, so if you have a new IP, like if they were going to reveal, say, the next Uncharted game, you can sit on that because that's not something Microsoft can get their hands on. They can't advertise, hey, look, Uncharted's coming to Microsoft's console. They can't do that. You can sit on that. But something like backwards compatibility that Microsoft can do, like, you can't sit on that. Get the word out first. You don't have to have a big press conference and lights and spotlights in front of you and Kazurai or Shuhei Yoshida on stage to announce it. It still reaches the internet and a lot of people by going through blogs and, you know, journalistic sites and company. Like, I mean, you can do it other ways aside from a press conference.
All right, fair enough. We're going to have to say goodbye to Donnie at this point because he's down to 5%. So, Donnie, thank you for joining us this week.
Bye, Donnie.
And I'm sure during the edit you'll give your opinions in the final show. So
probably only this Metal Gear thing I'm looking at.
All right, so
I'm giving you a heads up on that. Peace out, fans. Peace out, you guys, and peace out, my loved ones. I shall all return. Right.
All right, so for our next topic, we have anybody who's been playing Tales from the Borderlands. Telltale has announced the release dates for episode 4. Dottie's still with us. The next fourth episode will be coming out on August 18th for PC, Mac, PlayStation 3, Station 4, Xbox One, and 360 owners. We have to wait one more day, and then we'll get on the 20th. This is the fourth of the fifth episodes, so we're almost done with Tales from the Borderlands. Did any of you guys play Tales from the Borderlands yet?
No, I'm waiting for all five episodes to come out for Plus to have it on sale, then I'll pick it up on the 4.
10-4. The next thing we have is PlayStation 4 has new firmware 3.0, and it's rumored to be adding YouTube broadcasting and features Twitter video uploads.
Okay, this is from me and Donnie.
Okay. according to the article, firmware 3.0 is currently in beta and in Japan, and it appears the PlayStation 4 users will begin an alternate method of broadcasting and sharing their video games. According to Japanese website Pocket News, broadcasting via YouTube is coming to the PlayStation 4. Recently, YouTube announced it will be launching a new app and website called YouTube Gaming, designed to host gaming content this summer. The hub will feature videos and live streams of over 25,000 games for various game publishers and YouTube creators. YouTube streaming will offer an alternative to Twitch and Ustream, and also the translation will reveal users to be able to upload 10-second game clips to Twitter. The PlayStation 4 share function will also get the ability to support screenshots, video clips, and in addition to broadcasting. And an event section will also be added to the main menu to allow users to, quote, discover, participate, and view events.
Ooh, me first.
I wasn't done, but okay. Go ahead.
You want to do a really good firmware instead of all this broadcasting and uploading malarkey? Fix your dashboard or whatever you call it. It's annoying. I want my XMB back. There. And my folders. I want to put my games in folders. Okay, there. I said it. You can continue now.
Well, I kind of like got rid of the article because the rest of it was just, you know, detail and everything that's coming in it. And, you know, we'll talk about that more when it actually comes out because we still haven't even gotten the firmware update that we talked about last week. And they're already talking about 3.0. But I do have some bad news for our UK and European listeners.
Yeah, they're getting royally hosed here. I have a feeling I have a feeling we are too.
I think it's coming too. PlayStation Plus subscriptions prices will rise in the UK and Europe starting next month.
Malarkey, which means, you know, I need to go like buy like a couple 2 or 3 years worth. And
yeah, I'm good until 2021 right now. So
yeah. I was hoping, like, the last couple of years they'd have another buy one, get one, or no, they were all half off. Yeah, I was hoping they would do another deal like that this past Christmas, and they didn't do it, and I was slightly agitated.
Sony has confirmed that it's set to increase the price on 1- and 3-month subscriptions in the UK and Europe. As it currently stands, 1 month of PlayStation Plus costs
£5.
It's £5.49. But I don't know exactly how to say it. It's like, is it £5.49? I don't know how to say that.
I would just say 5.49 pounds.
Right. And 3 months will set you back £11.99 pounds. It is yet to be confirmed what the new prices will be, but Sony has promised an annual subscription will remain unchanged at £39.99 pounds.
Well, okay. Well,
With this system, they basically made it impossible to do anything but buy a year subscription. It does not make any sense whatsoever to buy anything but a year subscription.
If anybody's buying less than a year, I don't know why they're doing it. It is well worth the money.
Okay.
We see eye to eye on that.
You see, I hadn't read this article. I had seen blurbs on the internet about it, and I thought it was all of them. If it's just the 1 month and the 3 months, I don't see a problem with that. I thought they were going to start hosing with the year subscription, and that would be all kind of bourgeois.
No, that remains unchanged.
For now.
Well, yes. I think as Alex said, alluded to it, he didn't actually use the words. I think this is just Sony's way of pushing everybody to get into the 1 year subscription. Unfortunately, Donnie's not here to talk about this topic because he actually covered the game during PAX East. But Wolf Developer has disbanded and is unable to deliver their Kickstarter rewards.
Get back the money.
Belgian studio Grin has called it quits on Kickstarter game Wolf, the Red Hood Diaries. It's done. There's no way back. We tried. We failed, says the studio co-founder Wim Wouters in a Kickstarter update. The team is dismantled, and we requested bankruptcy, unable to pay outstanding bills. Those who pledged to the project are unlikely to receive their backer rewards, as the studio has, quote, literally no money whatsoever, end quote, to buy the stamps to post them out.
Someone's getting sued.
The second chapter of Wolf the Red Hood Diaries is unlikely ever to see light of day either, as potential publishers have, quote, backed off following the first chapter's mixed reviews. Grin is now trying to sell the game's IP, source code, and assets in hopes that someone else will pick up the project. Wolf is a twisted version of the Red Riding Hood fairy tale. Its Kickstarter campaign earned over $72,000 in pledges, and they had high hopes in their preview. This isn't the first time the successfully funded Kickstarter campaign has failed to deliver. Last month, the Federal Trade Commission ordered a campaign creator to issue refunds after it was discovered that he had been using the funds for personal expenses instead. Additionally, a designer at 22 Cans revealed that he couldn't see the studio fulfilling all the features promised during its high-profile crowdfunding campaign for Goddess. Now, Yield, nobody's getting sued.
Well, I know, because you can't get nothing out of them. They just filed bankruptcy, but...
Well, not even that. Kickstarter, you pledged the money to Kickstarter, but it tells you straight out that there is no guarantee you will ever get what they want. Somebody does a Kickstarter, and they pledge they want to make $1 million. Once it hits $1 million, that $1 million goes to the person that started the campaign, and there's no legal recourse for them to ever produce the product.
For now.
Well, that could change.
That'll change.
That seems like it needs to change. That's terrible.
Well, it's in their terms of service, so if you pledge the money, you are agreeing to those standards.
Here's the problem. Nobody reads the terms of service. Like, the terms of service is one of those things that's like 10,000 pages long that no one reads.
Well, do you sign the contract without reading the contract first?
No.
There's a lot of time.
It's the same idea.
You're both right, though.
The PlayStation user agreement, do you read that?
No.
No, that's a contract. When you accept that, it's a contract.
Absolutely. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. People don't read terms of service. They don't read the PlayStation, terms of service and all that stuff. I'm with you on that. But technically, by all rights and purposes, Grin does not owe anybody anything.
Well, here's the thing. Like, have there been court cases where even though people have signed, these kind of contracts, that they said there's no way you can reasonably expect a human being to read all this? Like, I feel like that I feel like that's been a court case decision before where there was a decision that you cannot expect a person to read the entire terms of service because the terms of service are so fucking long. And a lot of times it's legalese that a lot of people can't understand.
Yes and no, but when you donate money to Kickstarter, there is a message that pops up. When you say donate this money, a pop-up comes up and says, you are aware, I'm not doing it word for word, but it says you are aware that even if this project reaches its goal, the person doing this is not legally required to produce said product. It says it plain and simple, and you have to confirm it. So it tells you right then and there, just because you're giving this money does not mean Grin or anybody else owes you anything. You are voluntarily giving them money.
Quite frankly, I never would use Kickstarter.
Well, that's why people don't use Kickstarter, and that's why our GoFundMe is failing, because not a lot of people want to use the GoFundMe.
That makes me never want to use Kickstarter, honestly. Like, if that's the way that operates. Like, if someone can legally – most people, I'm assuming, make good on their promises. But if someone can just walk away with money and you get nothing out of it – like, I'm not talking about, like, you know, special edition of a game or, like, figures or something like that. I'm talking about, like, actually finishing the product that I would like to play, listen to, or watch. Like, if that is possible, then I don't want to ever put any money into Kickstarter whatsoever.
Well, look at the guy that started – I don't know if it was Kickstarter or GoFundMe. He put a campaign out there to raise $10 to make potato salad. And within 20 minutes had $10,000.
To make potato salad.
To make potato salad. He wanted the money to raise so he can go to the store and buy the ingredients so he can make himself a potato salad. He started the campaign.
He's getting them Whole Foods potatoes.
And he got $10,000, and I think it actually $10,000 in, like, I don't know, like 10 minutes, and it capped out at, like, $72,000.
Woo! I'm rich! And I can eat me potato salad the rest of my life!
And he didn't promise nothing. There was no guarantee. There was no promise. There was nothing. Not saying, like, oh, you donate $5 to me, I'll send you potato salad. He got $72,000 to make himself a potato salad.
See, people have too much expendable income. We just tax them to death.
I mean, Donnie saw this game, and I from what I remember, he liked the game. He wanted to play it more. I think it's really shitty that, you know, we have gone this far in a crowdfunding. We've given the guy $72,000 to make the game. The game exists in some capacity at this point. The same thing I would say with Silent Hills. Silent Hills was somewhere in production. And now we're never going to see it again. It sucks when this stuff happens, but technically Grin doesn't owe us anything.
We won our game!
All right, Alex is on mute again.
No, I mean, I shouldn't have anything to say about it.
It sucks. It really does suck. But that's the way it is. Let's get into our last topic, and then we'll go into our topics of the week.
This is some more bourgeois.
PlayStation Plus subscribers who pre-order Rock Band 4 on the PlayStation Network will be receiving 10 additional Rock Band 4 songs. This offer is currently only available in North America, South America, and Central America, but they said that they might be expanding to other regions, including Europe, soon. The 10 songs that are included is All That Remains, Divide, Blitz Kids, Run for Cover, Bring Me the Horizon Throne, Dead Sarah, Mona Lisa, Duran Duran, The Reflex, Janis Joplin, Move Over, Of Mice and Men, Would You Still Be There, Oh Honey, Sugar You, Pantera's Cowboys from Hell, Live from the Monsters in Moscow Festival, and Sea Sick Steve, Summertime Boy. There's only one song in there that I want, and that's Cowboys from Hell, but I do not want to play the live version of
that song. No, I wouldn't want to play the live version. You know what? That's why I went and pre-ordered my version from GameStop. That was one of the games I pre-ordered over the weekend.
Well, you're pre-ordering it because you need all new equipment.
Yes, I'm getting the Band in the Box edition because I want all new equipment. All I need to know now is what the cymbal kit's going to cost because I'm getting me the cymbal kit.
See, I think $250 is just too much money for that.
It is, but you know what?
You think $250 is too much money for that? Turn around, Mike. Look at your wall.
Touché!
Considering that the original game, with all the same instruments, now granted it's new technology, was 170.
Was it 170?
It was 180. It was $179.95. So you're paying an additional $70 more for wireless drums?
Well, you're not figuring for inflation, Mike. No, like, I mean, but at least, I mean, Yield.
Government names!
But Yield will get a lot of use out of this, and not only Yield, but also Homer gets duffed, his brother. And I'm sure they get together and they play Mario Kart, you know, and have game nights. I'm sure they have friends too that'll come over there and play Rock Band with them.
Oh yeah.
No, I grant you that, you know, you need all the equipment. But see, like me, I'm actually looking to buy this game digitally because I already have the PAX East guitar that's being sent to me the day the game comes out. I have the Ion drum set.
That is yet to be confirmed whether it's going to work or not.
Right. But I also have the original drum set, Rock Band 1 drum set, too. As well.
Wait, which one do you have, the 1 or the 2?
I have the Rock Band 1 set as well. But I don't need all the other instruments, so I want to buy the game digitally. Now, the 10 songs don't interest me, but of course, you know, I'll get them. But with that being said, it's like, I just think $250 is a little bit pricey for all the equipment, especially since they're giving you one guitar, a wireless drum set, and a wired microphone.
Well, see, I don't totally disagree with you, but I had like $150 in GameStop gift cards that I earned off the internet, or my wife earned off the internet, so...
E-rewards?
Yeah, e-rewards. I had like two years worth of GameStop gift cards that I was using to buy my 4, but since I dilly-dallied on ordering my 4 and had to get it from Best Buy, I used it for Rock Band. So instead of dropping $250, I dropped like $100.
$100.
That's a lot more reasonable.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, yes. But if you had to drop $250 cash on it, would you have done it?
I would probably still be waiting to pre-order it. I'd probably be trying to still talk myself into it.
And that's my point.
No, I don't agree with you. Hey, you want to know the other game I pre-ordered?
What's that?
I went ahead and pre-ordered Mad Max.
You know, I was thinking about that myself.
I don't care. So I read a review on Game Informer. The guy was like, either the guy was a troll or he was brutally honest. He was kind of trashing the game, you know. It was like, it ain't changed since the last time I seen it, and on and on. And I went, wow, this is the first on a long time that I've read from somebody that he's either just being a troll or that's brutally his opinion. And if it is, bravo, because more people need to be honest with that instead of going, oh yeah, this game is the greatest in the world, and when really it might not be. But that didn't sway my opinion any. I'm getting the game. It looks cool.
All right. That is going to bring us to the end of our topics. We had two topics of the week, but because Donnie's not here, I do not want to get into one of the topics. So we're going to save that for next week when Donnie's here. But I do want to get into our other one, and that is, as I mentioned before, Silent Hill's being canceled. That game was being made partly with Guillermo del Toro. Unfortunately, with the cancellation of that one, that's actually the second game he was making that's been canceled, the other one being Insane, which was being developed at, it was being published by THQ before they recently went bankrupt. But Guillermo del Toro, he's sworn off getting involved in video game projects ever again after the cancellation of both of his two successive projects. His quote was, "I have proven to be the albatross of video games. I joined THQ and THQ goes broke. I joined Kojima and Kojima leaves Konami. I have decided in order not to destroy anyone else's life, I have decided that I will never again get involved in video games. Otherwise, I'll join someone and his house will explode or something."
I assume this is all in like in jest. I assume that he's joking about this.
Well, I'm sure he's joking around the fact that, you know, two projects he got involved with, you know, major things have happened to the studios.
Well, I mean, like, THQ was in trouble, financial trouble, long before he came around.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, Konami, or Kojima's been at Konami long enough, or he was at Konami long enough that if there was any bad blood, you figured that it would have bubbled up long before, you know, Del Toro came along. So, like, there clearly was nothing about him, his involvement with those studios that caused anything. And I assume this is all in jest by him. But he's probably like, you know what? Two of these projects that I was in talks to do, like, never came out. Screw this. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with these prima donnas. I'm going to go back to movies where the stuff that I actually work on gets made.
Well, he said in the full interview, Del Toro acknowledges that while he will continue to learn from Kojima as a friend and certainly isn't opposed to anyone making games out of his works, for him personally, the dream is over. Konami has stated that it's, quote, committed to the new Silent Hill titles, end quote, in the future, though quite what form will appear remains to be seen.
Well, whatever form they're in, I'm sure no one will want to play them. When was the last good Silent Hill game?
Well, they also said that, stories have said that Konami is more going to focus on the mobile market than the console market in the future.
I'm sure Donnie loves to hear that.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid Home Builder on your iOS.
It'll be Metal Gear Builder. Build your own Rex.
Build your own Rex.
If anybody makes this happen, we've already said it, so we want royalties.
We want royalties. Yeah, it's just like it sucks that Guillermo del Toro has someone of making video games. I think he would actually be good in that aspect, but I can't blame him for his thinking.
We'll never know because he's a bad luck charm.
I do like his use of the word albatross. Like, that was fantastic.
Should have said dodo.
Makes me like him even more.
With that being said, let's close out the show. Let's do some housekeeping.
Donnie, insert your housekeeping thing.
Yes, yes. By the way, I'm through with housekeeping.
ProvingGamer.com and the Structure Network is looking for some staff members. We're looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to the front page of Proving Gamer, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I or Billy will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're there, be sure to check out all of our articles and all of our videos. Our videos also can be found on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proving Gamer. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways to get a hold of us. The first one is send us an email, trophyhorse@provinggamer.com. You can contact us on Twitter. Alex is Saundersaurus Rex, although he doesn't really check it anymore. The show is at Trophy Horse. The site is at Proving Gamer and at The Structure Net. I am personally found at Tricky Mick. Yield is found at I Yield to No One. And Donnie is found at Young Twist. There is also a phone number you can call. Yield, what is that phone number, sir?
330-PROVEN-9. That's 330-776-8369.
Also, you can get a hold of us using the SpeakPipe app. That is found on the Proving Gamer Facebook page and on the front page of Proving Gamer. Speaking of our Facebook page, please, if you could, we know you're on Facebook, stop by, leave a click on the like button and get involved in the conversations there. If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. But be sure to check out all the other Proving Gamer podcasts, including PG Spoilers and Press X to Win. All the podcasts are found on iTunes, Stitcher, and your various podcast applications on your smart devices. But if you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher, please stop by, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars, and let us know how good of a job we're doing. With all that being said, we're going to close out the housekeeping, but we do have some sponsors. Alex, can you tell us about Extra Life, sir?
Extra Life is a wonderful charity event. It's an annual 24-hour gaming marathon. It's easy to get signed up, and it's a great way to do something you like and help other people at the same time. So basically what you do is you sign up first and foremost. You can either sign up solo, you can go lone wolf, you can join a team, or you can create your own team. Proven Gamer, for instance, has a team, and you're more than welcome to join us in our rampage of awesomeness. So basically, once you get to that point, you pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital that you would like to represent, preferably one close to you or in your hometown, and then you collect sponsorships, donations from people, and it can be a flat rate. It can be 10 bucks for the entire day. It can be $1 an hour. It can be $2 an hour, whatever you can get, whatever someone's comfortable donating, and basically make sure that if you do this, that you let everyone know that the donations 100% go to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital that you represent. So 100% of the money that you get is donated will go to the hospital. So like I said, it's a fantastic way to do something really, really good, and you get to play video games at the same time.
All right, Yield, can you GoFundMe?
No, go fund yourself. Go to GoFundMe.com/ProvingGamer. We've got some trophy-themed donation set up. One of them, Donnie, will sing you a song, and since it's August, I guess he'll sing you a back-to-school song. Well, actually, what we're really trying to do, instead of trying to raise money to better raise podcasting equipment, what we're really trying to do is just raise money so that way we can all just retire filthy, stinking rich. So just give us your money, and we won't promise to give you anything.
Hey!
Oh, wait, were we still recording?
Why don't you tell us who we're sponsored by?
Amazon!
I would like to say that Christine is actually talking to family in the other room. So her family, who actually know me, now just heard that. And like, what the hell?
Well, make sure when you're done, you tell them to go to brewergamer.com first, click on the Amazon link, and continue with their normal shopping. It doesn't cost them anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. With that being said, let's close out the show. Alice, I'm sure you want to do your shout-outs now so you can go explain to Christina and her family what the hell just happened.
And no, she's probably like, yeah, that's my boyfriend. That's just the way he is. He's special.
That's my man.
Yeah, that's my man. As always, I want to thank the listeners for being awesome and just continuing to join us every single week and putting up with us. I know it's tough sometimes, but we do appreciate you all spending an hour or so, sometimes 2 hours with us every week. I want to thank Donnie Yield and Tricky for another fun show, another exciting show, another riveting, pulse-pounding show, edge-of-your-seat thrill ride like the new Mission Impossible movie, Rogue Nation. In theaters now. I'd also like to give a shout out to Donnie. Even though he couldn't join us for the entire show, he did his little Houdini act. And we still appreciate you, Donnie, for showing up and being awesome, being on time. We appreciate you, Donnie. And last but not least, I would like to give a shout out to. Oh, I'll tell you who I don't want to give a shout out to is Todd Papian, whoever was involved with God of War Ascension, for making me wait a million years to play this free game. I set aside time, and my girlfriend helped me set aside time to play some games today, and I didn't get to. You know, I actually played Mega Man 3. It turns out it's actually better, because I played Mega Man 3, which is a far better game than God of War Ascension will ever be. So,
amen, brother!
How would you know that, since you've never played God of War Ascension?
I can tell. There is no way. Mega Man 3 is one of the best games ever made. There is no possible way that God of War Ascension can even touch this. Especially because, basically, like, Sony Santa Monica threw the kitchen sink at us with the first few God of War games, like with God of War 2 and God of War 3, they threw an overdrive. And after two handheld games, as well as three console games, like, what really could be left for God of War Ascension? I've looked at the bosses. I am not impressed. Again, so I don't want to give a shout-out to anyone involved with God of War Ascension, but I do want to give a shout-out to Mega Man 3, because it's badass. Yes. And finally, last but not least, I want to give a shout out to love of my life, my girlfriend Christina, who, as I said today, did all the chores around the house while I was at work in order to give me some time when I came home so I'd be free to play games, and who, again, allows me every week to record with you guys for 2 hour blocks. So thank you to Christina. I love you, sweetie, and shout out to you.
Yield your shout out, sir.
Let's see here. Give a shout out to the fans for downloading, listening, and spreading the Four Horsemen news. Shout out to you guys for recording. This week was a really good show. Shout out to I can't remember if I gave him one last week. Unforgiving Sigh for sending in some listener mail. A shout out to Dupes25 for being a fan of the show. And shout out to Hello Games. I absolutely love Joe Danger, and I'm having a blast with Joe Danger too. And it's just it blows my mind that they're making No Man's Sky. So
all right, and I want to give a shout out to Unforgiven Sai as well. He is currently sending me a care package that has a bunch of Green Ranger and White Ranger stuff that I'm interested in seeing. That will be a surprise because I told him I didn't want to know what he's putting in the box. Want to give a shout out to Stink Palm, who worked with me on both Disney Infinity 1.0 and 2.0 to get the platinum, because it required online multiplayer to get it. So I want to thank him for that.
Bravo for fan participation.
And I want to give a shout out to all the listeners, of course. You know, without you guys, the show would not exist. And shout out to my co-host, even though Donnie's not here and he's a giant pain in my ass sometimes. But I want to thank you guys all for showing up every week to record, because also without you guys, our fans wouldn't have anything to listen to every week. So, with all that being said, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Later.
Peace out. That's right, Donnie. I said it again. Peace out.
Check it. You done made it through another one.
Replay.
Or download another one.
Continue your hordeum.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it just to forget the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again, you listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.